Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, it's that time again for another episode of Live from the 305 when we highlight some of the musical talent here in South Florida. And today we're going to introduce you to a band very close to our hearts. They've been playing in South Florida for over 15 years and have become an instrumental part of the Latin music scene here. They were nominated for both a Grammy and Latin Grammy, and they were featured on the PBS documentary Miami Bohemi. And you hear them on Sundial every day. It's Palo. The Afro-Latin funk band was started by musician and Miami-Dade College business professor Steve Rothstein back in 2003. He found singer Leslie Cartaya, and the duo has been playing Miami's iconic Latin music bars and clubs in different configurations ever since. Now, they'll be playing at the Ball and Chain in Little Havana, and we'll get you some of those dates. We'll have them up on our Facebook. I believe they're there tomorrow. We began our conversation with Cartaya and Rothstein by looking at their influences.
The Miami Latin sound has a story which was kind of told in an Emmy Award-winning documentary that we were featured in. It's called Miami Bohème, and you can see it by going to the YouTube channel of Palo. It's Go Palo, and it's on there for free. And it goes back a long way to people like Carlos Olive, Los Jóvenes del Juez, Willie Chirino, and, of course, we can't forget version 2.0, which was Gloria Estefan, the Miami Sound Machine. And it all has something in common. It takes the Cuban sound, Latin sound, and fuses it with pop. And then Palo is part of this movement that was covered in the film Miami Bohème.
If you talk about it with anybody who's not from here and they don't know, how do you describe it? How do you define what that sound is, the Miami sound is?
I would say it's a mashup of stuff. It's like an ajiaco. Like in Cuba, you say ajiaco is just anything inside a soup. So anything that you can put in there that you have, you throw it in there, and it tastes amazing.
Does it all mix?
What we do in Palo
is
we limit the ingredients. We don't throw in everything, but we definitely count on a lot of Cuban sounds. Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll throw in a little bit of a Puerto Rican beat or Colombian beat, but it's mostly
Santo Domingo.
Yeah, but it's mostly Cuban sounds mixed with African American funk and jazz. That's pretty much our ingredient list. But from there, you know, the songwriting takes it wherever it goes.
Take us back to the beginning of Palo. How did it all start?
Well, I used to work with some really amazing superstars like Celia Cruz and Willie Chirino. He was the one who gave me my original break. So he was my big mentor and big influence. And at some point, what happens in certain industries like the music industry, particularly the record industry, is when you have some success, they ask you to keep repeating that formula. And that didn't appeal to me. So I started thinking about doing something that I always had avoided, which was becoming an artist. I loved doing what I did as an arranger, producer, musical director, kind of behind the scenes. So when I really decided that it was something I wanted to do and could maybe work as far as being something sustainable was when I saw the Spam All-Stars. And I said, you know, that I don't want my band to be exactly like that, but what they're doing is similar to what I might want to do. And the thing that really struck me about them is they were having a blast. They were enjoying it. And that's something that had gone away a little bit with, you know, kind of repeating formulas and trying, you know, and it just wasn't my thing. So that was around 2002 that I really decided to start Palo. Did some research. I found Leslie and I said, this is perfect. It's just like the greatest voice I've ever heard.
Where did you find her?
A mutual friend of ours, brought me to see her sing with her cousin, Pepin Rivero. And it was kind of an unlikely setting, a little restaurant called...
It was not even my show. It was a Carlos and Marta show.
Yeah, they were sitting in. Our friends Carlos and Marta were really the show. And Pepin and Leslie went and did a few songs. And I was just sort of shell-shocked by this 20-year-old gal at the time. So much talent and so much charisma. And eventually we decided to, give this thing a shot. We started writing songs together. We had a lot of chemistry songwriting.
I didn't even write songs at that time.
Right.
When he comes up to you, though, Leslie, I mean, you know, because I'm always fascinated about how a group starts. There has to be some kind of bond away.
I said, who is this crazy American that wants me to start writing songs? and wants me to start mixing the Cuban music with funk and hip-hop. I mean, actually, it sounded cool because I always liked jazz. I'm Cuban, but I always liked American music. I like 10, my cousin Pepin Rivero actually gave me a CD of Barbra Streisand, and I was like in love, like automatically. So I said, I love this music. I need to hear more of it. And I started like trying to get American music in Cuba, which was a pretty hard thing at that point. And then I ran into Ella Fitzgerald, and that's it. It took over, and I've been listening and actually singing American music since I'm like 12.
How long did it take before you knew we got something? There's long term here.
I think it was the first or second show, because even though we had a small amount of people in the club, there's a song that we had written that you guys know very well, and it's called Lengua Larga. And Leslie and I, that was one of the first songs that we wrote.
Yeah. Let's talk about this song. I'm glad you guys brought it up. Lengua Larga, it's about gossiping.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's in Spanish, yeah, chisme, chisme. Tell us about the song. Where did that come from?
Oh, that was Steve's idea.
Yeah, what happened was I kind of confided in someone, and you sort of assume that certain things won't be talked about, and then they are. And so I went to Leslie and I said, on the street, like in Cuba, how do you refer to, like, gossiper? And, oh, un chismoso, bueno, lengua larga. And so we started writing it, and there was something magical about just the way the song came together, the melody of it, and the verses that, you know, we wrote together. Video for it years later, like I think it was around 2009, and one of my other mentors, Carlos Oliva, one of the great pioneers of the Miami Latin sound, was there at the video shoot, and he told me, if this had been the 80s, that song would have been a hit on the radio in Miami, because one of the DJs would have grabbed it, played it, and in those days they didn't have restricted playlists. So he said everyone else would have heard it, and it would have taken off like wildfire, and that was a really great compliment.
I'm talking with Steve Roitstein and Leslie Cartaya. They are the co-founders of the Miami Afro-Cuban funk band Balo, which you might know because their music is the theme music for the show Sundial. And they're here talking to us about their music. You know, I'm curious about how you've stayed in Miami for a decade. Because, you know, I talk to musicians and, you know, it's always this talk about, well, you know, if you're going to make it, you got to go to New York or L.A. or something like that. Why stay in Miami? Do you have to go somewhere else to make it bigger?
Well, first of all, I don't think a band like Palo could have really happened in those other cities you mentioned from just the cultural standpoint. Yeah. And I'm not sure there's the right combination in those other cities of the other elements that are required, which is the audience and the venues. And we've been very blessed to have venues and people support us. And we just celebrated our 15-year anniversary in July.
What's interesting is, and you pointed this out when you were performing, that, I mean, Steve, you're white and you're Jewish.
Yes.
Okay. So, and, you know, and you have this group of Cuban performers. I mean, for you, going back, what attracted you to the music, to the Caribbean sound, to salsa, to all of this?
I'm not 100% sure about that. but I have a memory of being my family moved down from Connecticut when I was about 7. And so in those years, I think Miami had 4 or 5 television stations. Channel 6 at the time used to run the old I Love Lucy reruns. I wasn't a musician yet. I was like around 8 years old, and I'm watching this thing, and oh, this cool guy, Ricky Ricardo, the dinner jacket, and he's going to the club, and then he grabs a drum, and I'm watching, and I was like, okay, what is that drum? And then he starts singing, ba-ba-doo, and I'm like, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. I have no idea why I had this attraction for it. As I became a musician, my ears always perked up when I heard Latin music, particularly Cuban music. And then when I switched to keyboard from the French horn, which was the instrument I studied, I got a chance to be in a Latin band, and it was just like coming home. There was something about it that just felt right, and I just was devouring every record that I could get, learning how to do it right. And by the time I got my break with Chirino, I just kind of fit right in.
Basically, you're the Ricky Ricardo. There you go.
Yeah.
You're the Ricky Ricardo. This show has been around a little over a year now. And I remember when we were going through the process of putting this together and we needed a sound. And we were listening to all of these very generic kind of little theme bumps that you typically hear with a radio show. And then somebody played you, played some Paulo. And we're like, that's very different. That's not a typical talk show song. It's very different. And then we decided this is the sound for the show. What was it like when they approached you guys and said, yeah, we want to use you for a public radio talk show?
Well, first of all, I was really honored because, like I, you know, mentioned to you earlier, I'm a fan of WLRN and public radio in general. We love this concept of some alternative to what, you know, what's driven just by, you know, advertising dollars. This is something that we really need to keep supporting. So I was thrilled. In fact, the only thing that I wanted to make sure is that, it fit the show because I didn't really know much about the show.
And believe me, at that time, we didn't either.
Well, but
it was still new.
But I think, you know, you guys kind of had some general idea. And I was really glad that you wanted kind of a sound that reflected the Miami personality. And the one thing that I am, you know, kind of proud of, giving the advice of offering two different songs. We have one little piece that's very bright and sunshiny, and it fits the, you know, and there's another which is a bit more introspective. And that one fits, you know, when you're talking about a more serious subject, and I'm really glad we were able to do that, and you kept kind of the whole sound in the same wheelhouse.
How much does the success of your style of Latin music rely on the performers, and how much of it is on the venues? And I'm thinking about the live performances. What's available in Miami? Is this, is there a good variety of places for performers?
There could be more.
There's a lot of places that have closed too.
Yeah, places have closed and some new places have opened up. A little bit of a yardstick for me
is
that I had, I think it was about 4 years ago, a friend of mine who's a musician and a big music columnist in San Francisco, and he came and visited Miami for a couple weeks, and I told him everywhere to go. And when he had been here for about 4 days, he said, you know, compared to San Francisco and L.A., this scene is vibrant. It's
here.
He said Miami is way better than L.A. and San Francisco as far as the kind of original sort of music. You can go somewhere in L.A. and hear a salsa band, or you hear somebody playing salsa covers. Nothing wrong with that. But somehow we had this fertile ground where the club owners were willing to be part of a band that plays their own music, and the crowd went with it, and the bands provided it.
Steve Roitstein and Leslie Cartaya, co-founders of the Miami Afro-Cuban funk band Paulo. That is the Paulo, of course, the theme music to this show. Steve, Leslie, thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Our pleasure.
And again, they're going to be performing at the Ball and Chain in Little Havana at Ball and Chain tomorrow night. You could see more of Paulo. Go to our Instagram at WLRN. Well, that's our program for today, this Thursday, January 10th. Have a wonderful Friday. Have a great weekend. I'm Luis Hernandez. We'll talk again on Monday.